Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Drift. Good to have you tuning in. Let's take time to take my sponsor this half hour is thedailydrift.com. Now, that's my website, and that's what I do every day. I go through the internet, pull those stories that you don't see anywhere else on the mainstream media, put them on thedailydrift.com so people can go to one place and get what's relevant to them, because there's so much out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I try to bring in those ones that you don't see anywhere else and get them in a nice, tight spot. And you can go to thedailydrift.com and get a free subscription. Mm-hmm. It'll be mailed to your inbox, and every day you'll get the link. Go right there and take awesome. A quick look at all the links, and all the websites that people like to go to are there, so you can click and link onto everything you need. So if you want to advertise on The Daily Drift, call me, 734-629-6010, or email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. Now, The Current Online came out this month. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but a great place to advertise as well. So you can call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777, or go to currentonline.com, that's C-O-U. RANTonline.com. So, well, Jay, we were going to the first thing that bothered me this week, and I think it really hits home, is the fact that the lawsuit against Right to Work here in Michigan, the first one anyways, there was the unions, of course, were saying because the state locked the doors that Open Meetings Act was violated. And Bill Schuette said, no, let's just throw this out of court because we didn't. Right. We locked the doors due to a safety issue. Right, there were. Right. I don't know how they can say it was.
Oh, it's ridiculous. The unions. Gary Glenn, who is the great strategist on all this, he was involved with Right to Work, and back in for 7 or 8 years in the 1980s, and Right to Work passed in 1986. And then he's been involved in several of the other states. He says the unions throw objections every step of the way wherever they can, and they actually, if you look at it as a business proposition, they have to, because the unions get something, I think, in the range of $400 million a year in campaign contributions, which are coerced from employees who are forced to pay those dues. So they're going to do every possible thing.
Yeah, to put it up and keep getting that flood of money coming to them.
That lawsuit is so preposterous that it's and I would like to know who the judge was that didn't file. I bet it's a guy who gets a lot of money from unions.
Let's see if I think I've got it right here in front of me. Let's see. It's SEIU, UAW, Local 6000. They were all part of this against
lawsuit,
him.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing who the judge
but
was.
But as it moves up the ranks through the appellate courts, it's going to get thrown out one way or another. Just on the face of it, it's so utterly preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, for this thing not to be thrown out is what really bothers me, because how can you say this was a closed meeting and that it wasn't open? You had thousands of people inside the Capitol. They had to lock the doors because they were full, fire code.
Absolutely.
And there's plenty of video on the internet of people taking pictures with their phones. So there's no way in the world
The unions were well represented in there. They had the gallery filled with their people and walking the hallways. Like I said, they are going to be throwing every possible objection that they can and running it through the courts.
It's amazing. It just it bummed me out that it should have been thrown out, but be that as it may, we do have some information that came out this week. Wisconsin public unions now they've been Right to Work for 2 years. They are losing membership. Go figure. This is something we all knew, because no value added by most unions to the average guy.
Not all unions. You know, I used to – I try to mention this when I get into these discussions. When I was in college, I worked at Great Lakes Steel. And I'm just a young kid, a little bit – well, I had never been in a factory environment before. So I was doing things that, frankly, could have gotten me killed. And I was – and the older folks would always say, Jay, X and X – number one, you always had to wear the helmet. And you weren't allowed to step foot in that plant without the eyeglasses. And here I am, a young kid, and I never wore those. I hated those awful
safety glasses.
And they went to great pains to say, Jay, if you don't wear those glasses, you might get fired. And I'm thinking, ugh. And then as time rolled on, there were instances where if I didn't have those glasses, I would be blind today. And it often came up in the conversations we had with people that the unions and the union stewards were on that safety stuff like, you know,
white on rice.
Like white on rice, absolutely. So the unions are good and they're important, but I'm not sure they are worth all those dues, and they especially are not worth people joining when they don't have a choice. So it's the coercion that is so repugnant to it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Mackinac Center did a nice little bit, and you can get the links to Mack Center at thedailydrift.com. I have all the links on there. They're a great group of guys. They did a nice little they interviewed a couple dozen people, I think, but I only got a small number of it. Derek, let's roll with track one. I want to hear what union and non-union employees think about right to work.
I do work in a union shop, and it's kind of a mixed bag, you know, because the union workers tend to stick together, but yet a lot of times unions will put their money toward causes that a lot of the union workers don't believe in.
I'm familiar with it. It won't have any impact on my life. It may have some on other people I know.
Could be, because I am part of a union at UPS, so less people who pay into it, the weaker the union becomes.
It'll hurt the unions. But bottom line, I'm not so sure it's a bad idea.
I think the only way people would quit is if something dramatic were to happen, like our benefits got taken away or, you know, something crazy like that.
I understand that our contract ends in August, and that very same day I know exactly who to contact and how to leave the union.
Well, I'll be sticking with union shop, I think. It's just, to me, it's whether you like unions or not, it's not worth the hassle of swimming upstream all the time and kind of going against the grain all the time, you know.
One thing that I found out that I'm not as comfortable with is that if I were to leave the union, the union basically has to represent me in certain contexts, certain situations, and I didn't understand that was part of the law initially.
I'm not sure, to be totally honest.
Do you have a job?
Yes, I do have a job.
Are you a member of the union?
No, I'm not.
I don't think so, because I work for a private company, so.
And they're not union?
No, they're not new union.
Boy, at this point, I'm not sure I do know anyone working in a union. I would say that my opinion would be that it would be positive.
If I'm not part of the union, they shouldn't have to take care of me. But it is what it is. I think it'll definitely open things up. It'll make it more competitive.
Okay, so
what I see there is people are evaluating the value of the union. And what Gary Glenn and so many others have said, in what you'll probably will see, especially at the larger facilities, is the UAW will say, we're in, we want to continue to represent you at whatever their fee is, $60 a month or $150 a month. And somebody else will say, well, we will also represent you for $12 a month. And the person with the lower fee may say, we tend to be completely out of politics. We're not going to take your dues and give it to President Obama or left-wingers. And maybe there will be some traditional values guys who want to do that. But in general, people are sick of the political manipulation of the unions.
Yeah, I think the competition, and that's really what it will do. It will add competition to the marketplace that is union membership.
Absolutely. That has happened. That's well documented in other states, and that's the beauty of it. People will actually have to think about it. Here, put it this way. Gary Glenn gave a talk I can't remember where it was, but gave a talk recently, and he said that there was a union representative who was quoted in the media saying that this has forced them to try to educate the union members of the value of what they're doing. So that's a good thing. So finally, after all these years,
it's got to be tough. What are you really doing for me, Mr. Union Leader? You know, Steward. Yeah. What are you doing for me? I'm a good worker. I'm not a slacker. I'm not one of those guys you have to represent.
I think as much as 80% of all union dues go directly to the Democrat Party, and they are locked in hard on the hard left wing causes. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And the workers are actually. Probably going to be coming back, and after a few years, they're going to say right to work was a great thing.
Yeah. Now you're a Washtenaw County resident, right?
Yes.
We've hit on the last couple of shows here. The Washtenaw County Commission did the same thing that Wayne State, that Western Michigan, and that a lot of the school districts did. They went ahead and jumped on the bandwagon for 10-year contracts.
10 years
to try and get around right to work laws, which frankly is just—it's
unconscionable that they would do that.
It's an outrage, and. So we had County Commissioner Dan Smith, who was the only one who voted against these 10-year contracts. And he said there were some good things in them, but he said there was just no data. They rushed this through.
Sure.
And he doesn't know. So he said, you know what, I'm voting no because I don't believe that we've done the data.
Yeah, I commend him for that. The problem with Ann Arbor is so left-wing, sadly. It's the motto, of course, is 8 square miles divorced from reality, and no, 8 square miles surrounded by reality.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. and the crazy thing is that the people at U of M, the hospital and the university, they have these elevated wages. They have exceptionally fine benefit programs. And sadly, the people who don't have those kinds of programs can't afford that kind of stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the way this spins out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to run into a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about right to work and its effects. Yeah. See you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Great Lakes Anchor Academy is a proposed public school academy in the city of Ferndale. Its mission is to partner with families and the community to provide a disciplined educational program that focuses on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Using maritime applications, the Great Lakes Anchor Academy will prepare your student to become a self-confident, resourceful contributor to America. The Great Lakes Anchor Academy offers a partnership with the Navy Lee Cadet Corps and the Navy Sea Cadets that provide real-life experience in maritime and underwater exploration and training in our unique Great Lakes ecosystem. Students will have the opportunity to participate with highly qualified staff aboard the research and training vessel Pride of Michigan. Professionally led missions are conducted throughout the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes Anchor Academy welcomes students of all backgrounds statewide entering grades 6 through 9 interested in an education that instills ethics and good citizenship, as well as a sense of respect and honor for self, family, school, community, and country. If the Great Lakes Anchor Academy program sounds right for your student, or if you would like to donate time, money, learn more, or just voice your support for this new school that will be the only one of its kind in the state of Michigan, call Amy Niebert at 248-630-5705. That's 248-630-5705. Or you can visit glanchor.org. Show your support for the Great Lakes Anchor Academy and its relentless pursuit of student excellence.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon in the studio live with me, Jay McNally from The American Dream. Jay,
I'm glad to be here drifting with you.
Drifting along. That's right. Exactly. So we're going to try and get through some stuff here. Now, Right to Work has worked very well. And if you have comments, 734-822-1600, I'd love to have you call in, or you can email me your comments, gary@thedailydrift.com. In Indiana, which has now been just over a year, I think, has been Right to Work, they are seeing the effects. And let's go with track two, Derek, for that first part there.
But in 2009, that's where the city of Elkhart, Indiana was, as it earned the dubious distinction of having the highest unemployment rate in the nation, 20.3%. Fast forward to 2013, when the federal government announced that Elkhart County is number three in the nation for job growth. Jobs jumped 5.6% in the most recent year, nearly 4% higher than the entire country.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, isn't that amazing? You don't hear that on the news, do you?
Yeah. Okay. That is great news.
Yeah. So they went from being dead last in the nation to number three.
Yeah.
In the nation.
And it's going to be three times better for Michigan, because Michigan has such a lucrative and such a wonderful infrastructure in the city of Detroit, and in places like Warren, and even places like Flint and some of the other cities. There are, Gary Glenn keeps talking about, there are factories that are ready to open tomorrow as soon as they have somebody willing to come in.
Absolutely.
And as soon as the employers realize that it's safe to come in, they'll be here.
Yep. Let's run with that next track, Derek.
Elkhart has also benefited from government-friendly business policies. Elkhart's jump in job growth occurred last year when Indiana passed its Right to Work law. The county's director of economic development says while companies never come right out and say it, site selection consultants say companies are well aware of the map of Right to Work states. And until Michigan passed its own Right to Work law in late 2012, Indiana was a standout in the Midwest.
Okay, so there you go.
There you go. Indiana and the people have said one of the reasons Governor Snyder was so eager to sign the Right to Work bill in Michigan is because the implications and the evidence was pretty profound that a lot of the jobs that should be coming to Michigan were going to Indiana.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be huge. I'm crossing my fingers and
yeah.
Knocking on wood, the whole nine yards, you know.
I am not crossing my fingers. I know it's going to be big. It's going to be extraordinary. And the beautiful thing is, especially for the poor, they will have new jobs. People will be able to come in unburdened by all the regulations and difficulties with obstinate unions. And they will be going where the workers need, where the workers want to work the most. So
yeah, I think you hit it on it earlier too, because you know what? Michigan has more infrastructure, empty factories, empty warehouses than you can possibly imagine.
And the railroads and the highways and the port system and the rivers. Michigan is – well, here, there's a reason that the auto industry prospered in America for almost 100 years, and we still have the benefit of so much of that, and it's been a shame. It is just an absolute shame to have allowed the liberal statist apparatus, the Democrats, to destroy the state.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. They destroyed
the state.
What should be the powerhouse of the world when it comes to manufacturing.
And most people who have adult-grown children, if they have several adult-grown children, and I invite every listener of this show to do this little test, ask your friends who have more than one or two adult-grown children where those kids are. Odds are at least one or both or all of them are out of the state. In my case, I had a son who was in Dallas for 6 years trying frantically to get back to Michigan, and there just were no jobs. It's going to be great. This is going to be a new day for Michigan, and we will start turning around almost instantly after November 2014.
Right. You know what I would really love to see? This is my dream. I'd like to see the legislature bring about something like they did, is it Nebraska, where get arms manufacturers and ammunition manufacturers come here, say anything made here doesn't apply to the federal law.
Any
gun laws that they put in. That would be awesome. I think
unbelievable.
Magpul and some of these other companies that are pulling out of Colorado, bring them to Michigan. Why wouldn't you?
I saw, wasn't there one, I only saw the headline, wasn't there a company called Beretta that's pulling out of one of the New England states?
I think it's Remington.
Is it Remington?
I'll Google it up during the
But, you know, congratulations to those companies for telling the state legislature and the state, you know, you beat up on us and we're going to have to go where we have a more welcoming environment.
Yeah, they'll vote with their feet.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And in the end, that hurts the pocketbook because all we can really do is try to defund government by taking away their money.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they're so out of control. How else do you – I wish there was a way that you could somehow hold your taxes that you pay state and federal and put them into an escrow account at the local bank and say, I paid my tax, but it's there. When you run things right, you can have it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's going to take a new generation of people who understand the negative consequences of what government does. You know, along those lines, I have been honored to be able to work with Stacy Swimp. Mm-hmm. Stacy Swimp, of course, has the Frederick Douglass Society. He's a young black guy, probably in his late 30s, early 40s.
Young to us.
Young. And he is so articulate on these issues, and because he's a black guy, and he self-described former thug who was in prison and knows the black culture inside and out, he is he's got a lot of credibility with those folks. And when I think the class that has gone into the 3-4 generations of having to listen to the likes of race baiters like Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, when they start seeing that those guys are basically keeping them imprisoned on the quote-unquote plantation, and there's a great future for them in the free markets and in free enterprise and taking personal responsibility, I think there's going to be a huge, huge change. And Detroit, it's hard to imagine, but I think Detroit is ripe for a real turnaround once people like Stacy and others can start making some serious inroads there.
Right, and that, you know, that brings up a thought. I was watching the protest yet again down in Detroit the other day, and people are protesting the emergency manager.
Oh.
And, well, there we go. We're not going to be able
got
to get
a break.
It's a good thing we're not going to get sidetracked on this one. All right, we're going into a hard break. We'll catch you on the other side with our guest, Jay McDowell.
Okay, great. Thank you.
On the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The president's set to unveil a budget this coming week.
My budget will reduce our deficits, not with aimless, reckless spending cuts that hurt students and seniors and middle-class families, but through the balanced approach that the American people prefer.
In his weekly address, calling the proposal a compromise, the plan
said to include some tax hikes and some cuts to the growth of Social Security and other benefit programs. Republican House Speaker John Boehner has said the president already got the tax increases he wanted at the end of last year, and now it's time for spending cuts.
Fox Radio's Molly Henneberg. In the shooting death of a detective at a Jackson, Mississippi police headquarters, AP reporting authorities have a video from the interrogation room showing the murder suspect overpowering the detective, taking his gun and shooting him. And actress Halle Berry is pregnant with her first child with fiancé Olivier Martinez. She has 1 5-year-old daughter with her ex-boyfriend. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. I'm delighted to announce that Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham. Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
DBM VoiceWorks.
Audiobooks, corporate training videos, PowerPoint presentations, movie theater announcements, voicemail systems, and voiceovers for television commercials. Whatever your need, DBM VoiceWorks is here for you. To learn more about DBM VoiceWorks, visit dbmvoiceworks.com. That's dbmvoiceworks.com.
Don't touch that dial. For the rockin'est oldies in the Motor City, join me, Southeastern Michigan's original radio pirate, Johnny Danger, as we turn back the hands of time, playing the tunes you love best and probably haven't heard in years on Cruisin' with Johnny Danger.
Don't miss Cruisin' with Johnny Danger, Saturday nights at 10 on Wham! No matter where you are in the world, whether you have a radio or not, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. All you need is a computer or even a smartphone. Just go to whamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen live. From Santa Fe to Boston, Japan to England, wherever you may be, Wham Talk 1600 is there. Online and streaming live. whamradio.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Saturday afternoon. So, in the studio with me, Jay McNally, host of The American Dream, here on Wham! Talk 1600. Jay, thanks for coming in.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, have a little fun today. And Absolutely. We have a friend of yours calling in, Tony DeMott on line one. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good show today.
Well, appreciate it. Glad you could call in. What you got for us, Tony? You got a good comment?
Well, you guys were talking about right to work and, Campaign for Liberty. We pride ourselves on defending civil liberties. And in my opinion, right to work is a basic civil liberty issue, the right to associate, which the Supreme Court has clearly said is adjunct to the right to free speech.
Absolutely.
And as long as there are federal laws forcing people into unions, there's going to be a need for folks like us that advocate for those civil liberties and advocate for the right to choose if you want to join a union or not.
Yeah, let me say something about Tony. Tony is chairman of, I'm not sure the exact title, but state chairman or co-director or something or another of Campaign for Liberty. 2 years ago, when the effort on right to work was getting rolling, Tony was right in the core group that organized it, and he was responsible. He and his people, thousands of people around the state, were responsible for getting resolutions passed on the county level with Tea Parties and GOP organizations, and that in turn led to the unions being terrified of the hellstorm that was coming their way, and they put Proposal 2 on the ballot. So Tony understands what he just said, the grassroots operation that is fundamental to keeping our democracy safe.
Right. And we want to thank you, Tony, for doing that for us. That's awesome.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for the compliments. I mean, in my opinion, this revolution for our second revolution for our Constitution and primarily civil liberties and our God-given natural rights is only going to be won with a total grassroots uprising. Yeah.
The eternal vigilance that Thomas Jefferson talked about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Tony, for regular listeners of this show who probably are fairly conservative and have a fairly good understanding of the issues with right to work, we all need to be continually educated, but I often wonder what is the say one or two or three key documents or even YouTube videos that we should be giving to our friends and relatives who really don't understand the issue and may be hostile to it because they don't have the education. What would you recommend, Tony? Because you're in this up to your ears 24/7.
Well, I'd recommend going to the National Right to Work website. They have articulated the argument better than anyone, and they're very good at articulating the freedom argument on this, the liberty, the civil liberties on the issue. So that's really the absolute best place to go. Now, you know, I grew up in a union family. My whole family was union. Mm-hmm. And my family went through strikes. You know, we went through months where nobody in the family was working because they were on strike. And, you know, I'm very familiar with unions. And the idea of collective bargaining is also, in my opinion, a civil right. You have the right to band and join with others and collectively bargain. And collectively bargain has led to prosperity in my family. And so I understand what collective bargaining is. But I also understand that you also have the same choice to not collectively bargain. I think that's silly. Anybody that would like to get a better contract is smart to collectively bargain.
Yeah, yeah.
But being forced into a union is just absolutely un-American.
The coercion is the main issue.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for calling in. If you could do me a favor, shoot me an email, gary@thedailydrift.com, or look at my website, thedailydrift.com, and I want to get some links for you guys on there because I don't have those, and let's see if we can help educate some people.
Yeah, you mind if I put in a quick plug?
Sure, go ahead.
Our Washtenaw County Chapter of Campaign for Liberty meets the third Thursday of every month, and we put on presentations on one national issue, one state issue, and one local issue. So it's a really great group to show up to, and that's the third Thursday of every month. So we'll be meeting the third Thursday of April. I forget what the exact date of that is, but the third Thursday of every month, and I invite everybody to come out and join us there.
And where's the location?
Oh, the location is at the Saline American Legion, who I should mention have been very, very gracious and hospitable with allowing an activist group to come in there and do what we do. So
awesome.
Thank you to them.
Awesome. Yep. All right, cool. Tony, thanks. We'll try and make it out there ourselves.
All right.
All right. Talking to you, Tony.
Thank you. Take care.
Yep.
Okay, we've got Jenny with a comment from Brownstown. Jenny, good morning to you. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Jenny. Good to hear from you.
I'm glad I finally found you.
Yeah, that's right. I got the bump over to Saturday
afternoon.
Sorry, it took
a while.
Yeah.
So, is this Jay on here, too?
Yeah, we got Jay McNally. You get two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, I really like your show, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Jenny, you had a comment on Right to Work.
Yeah, anyway, I wanted to let you know, I have a story back from the 80s, and my brother was working. He wanted to work for Guardian Glass. And at the time, they were having trouble with their union, I think, and they were hiring non-union people, which was my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was violence out there, riots,
there,
as I recall it, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, the union people spat on him, and, you know, they threw terrible language at him, and he still got the job. He wanted to work.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad he got that job.
Guardian Glass was a big, big company out there, and as I recall it, the union violence was just terrible. I used to work in Monroe, in the Monroe City. And didn't Guardian Glass finally leave or really curtail their operations there?
Yeah, I think they did. But see, my brother only worked there for 4 years, and he got leukemia and passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, it was awful. But he did want a job, and he did get it.
Awesome.
Yeah, great.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Jenny, for calling in. Glad to hear from you again. Okay, so we're going to move on to a little bit of Obama is getting ready to release his budget. And one of the things he's doing, of course, raising taxes again, and he's taking aim at wealthy people's IRAs. And joining us from Michigan Capital Confidential is Jarrett Skorup. Jarrett, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well.
Sorry to keep you waiting. It's been a busy show.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a good show so far, and of course we love hearing about Right to Work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, can you give us a little insight into the IRA portion of that Obama's adding into his budget here, this extra taxation?
Right. Well, the actual budget hasn't been released yet. We have some reports coming out, and some of the administration officials and things like that it's probably something that's going to be released on Monday or early next week. But one of the essentially, he gives, it looks like the administration will, you know, there's some small technical changes to Social Security and some changes to Medicare that they were negotiating last year. But also, President Obama wants more revenue. So they're talking about what kind of tax hikes they're going to do on top of the tax hikes that were passed this past January by repealing the Bush tax cuts. So one of the issues that has kind of ignited a little bit of a firestorm that's been going on the web was there's a plan to limit the amount that people can put into that retired people will be able to have in their retirement accounts, their IRAs. So that would be capped at what most people say would be $3 million, which means essentially you're limiting what people will live on each year to $205,000, or at least that they'll be able to get from those accounts.
All right. Now, for guys like you and me, 205 grand is a lot of money. But for someone who's worked their whole life and invested smartly, they deserve to live as comfortably as they choose to, don't you think?
Right. The bigger idea is, getting into the discussion of how much money, you know, this actually is. I mean, $205,000 is a lot of money, especially a place in Michigan. It's not so much money if you're living in New York City or, San Francisco.
Right. Yeah.
But the bigger issue, to me personally is, the administration released a statement that said, under current rules, some wealthy individuals are able to accumulate many millions of dollars that is substantially more than needed to fund reasonable levels of retirement savings.
Substantially more than needed.
Yeah, who are they to tell us?
They are Marxists is what they are.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, you know what bothered me, Jarrett, was I read another article on this, and it says the proposal – and I like how they say the proposal would save around $9 billion over a decade. Now, the first thing I think is saving. I don't like it when government says they're saving money by taking our money.
Take it away, stealing it from us.
You know, that right, bothers me.
And the far bigger issue in terms of, to me personally, I'm a pretty young guy, starting out my career the last couple of years here. You told people, the federal government told people for a long time that, especially on something like a Roth IRA account, you're going to pay taxes on it, and you can put it in this account, and it's going to be on tax. It's going to be not going to be touched.
That was the promise. I was in the newspaper business, by the way, when the IRA business got rolling, and this would be in the early 80s into the 90s with Jack Kemp. And geez, oh, Pete, this was the promise of prosperity, the promise to have fiscal responsibility for those who wanted to plan for their retirement, not be entirely dependent on Social Security.
Right.
Once again,
that's right.
This is the federal government lying to us, not keeping their promises, and attacking, doing the class warfare thing, attacking people, making judgments about whether they have too much money.
Yeah.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, beyond that, I mean, you hear a lot of complaints now that we need Social Security so much because, you know, people aren't saving enough money. Well, what do you think is going to happen to savings rates when people now that are putting money away through their whole career are saying, well, why would I put money in this plan that the rules are changing on it?
Right.
You know, that's kind of the, you know, the issue that I would mainly have with it. I mean, this is a starting point in a negotiation. So, you know, I mean, a lot of times that could be further out than what they're actually going to do, but it does tell you a little bit of the mindset of, you know, what people are thinking.
Current administration.
Yeah. And for me, I always think worst case scenario. If you can now tell us how much we can have into an IRA, what are you going to do eventually if someone has too much in there? Are you going to take it away?
Well, that's what they did in Cyprus, yes.
You know, let's do it Cyprus
that
style.
What I'd encourage everybody to do is there's a great program out there, a PBS miniseries called Commanding Heights, which is free online. Mandatory viewing for everybody who wants an integrated understanding of both history, economics, and say even philosophy.
It's very down the middle, in the sense that it kind of talks about the battles between these two big ideas, and it's not, you know, this very right wing type people. This is very
PBS. This is PBS, which is hardly Fox News.
Very well known economists and things, and it's very interesting.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm learning something today.
Commanding Heights, 1993. It came out a long time ago, 93.
Yeah.
The first one especially is so excellent, and boy, I can't remember. How do we get on this? What was the point I was trying to make?
I don't remember, Jay. Oh. Between the three of us here, I'm losing track.
But the issue is that folks need to. Oh, I remember. The problem is when you see Commanding Heights, you realize that people really need to think twice about trusting their government. And if you really want to understand the problem of the fiat currency, which is the government's ability to create a currency, to in their mind create value literally from nothing,
right.
You can see what has happened historically in Germany and in one of the South American countries, I think it was Bolivia. And this Commanding Heights goes through the whole process. People, good hard work. The problem with this is the people who trust the government the most get burned the worst. People who did everything right, one day they wake up with no assets or one half of their assets, like in Cyprus.
Right.
People who trusted the government, who trusted the banks, overnight, within a week, lose as much as 60% of their assets. And
right, yeah. Milton Friedman said inflation is taxation without representation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Inflation is the crisis facing all of the West right now, and unless people understand it, they are very vulnerable. And there are all sorts of books out there that cover all this. Well, a great one is Murray Rothbard's book, What Has Government Done to Our Money? But Commanding Heights is a great. I'm so glad to hear that you are familiar with that DVD series. It's three parts, 6 hours. The best, at least the first 2 hours of it, is the most valuable 2 hours that I have spent in the last several years studying economics.
Well, I'll have to go look at that one.
Yeah,
well, Jared, you got any?
I went to a very good college that they show that in one of the economics programs. So.
Really? Where? Grove City, I bet, or Hillsdale?
Grove City College, that's right.
I didn't know that. I guessed. You'll love this. My introduction to Austrian economics occurred in 1976. I was at a week-long program put on by Hillsdale, but in conjunction with Grove City. So they brought in Grove City professors who talked, including somebody, Jared, you'll know, Hans Senholtz. So I got to listen to a whole week of lectures by Senholtz. Senholtz got a PhD, the first PhD, from Ludwig von Mises that was given in the United States. So
Senholtz he grew up in Germany and actually escaped the United States, but saw all these problems, especially in East Germany, you know, during the war.
Yes, yes.
He became very conservative, and he used to be a Marxist.
Yes, and he I think I read a biography, biographical material about him. At one point, he actually flew airplanes for the Nazis.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, nice. In the army, yeah.
Yeah, sitting here with you guys, man, the only thing missing is Darren Moore.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get Darren in here.
Darren.
I'm in over my head with you super intelligent guys who went to really good colleges.
Oh, no, well, I'm not super intelligent here. I just know where the smart guys are and read some of their materials.
So, Jared, anything else on this you want to hit before we...
Coming off what you guys were talking about before at the Right to Work, Mackinac Center, we just released a new website, miworkerfreedom.org, and I think you mentioned a little bit at the beginning, but we have a lot of fast facts up there that, you know, we have a very quick printout, like for if people want to, you know, they're talking with family members on different things, and I could share two of them real quick because these are ones that people don't know.
Sure, go.
One of them is that actually last year, forced unionization states lost almost 400,000 union members, whereas right to work states gained 40,000 union members.
Wow.
And one of the reasons for that is it's great being in a union, but if unions raise the cost of hiring so much that, you know, like we saw with General Motors, that you're forced to lay people off, well, those are union jobs that you're losing.
Right.
Right to work states are growing much faster. And the other one is for people that have young people at home that you're talking about. In the last 10 years, there was an increase of 11.3% of young residents in right-to-work states versus an increase of only 0.6% of young people in forced unionization states. So people are voting with their feet, as you talked about, and recent college grads are going to where the jobs are. And, you know, that's where they're settling down sometimes. But I'm from Illinois originally, so you can't get too much worse from there. So out of college, I came back up to Michigan, but I'd like to stay here. So I'm pleased with
We're glad you did.
Yes, excellent. We're
glad you did. And thank you, too, Jared, for all the work you guys do at Michigan CapCon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Have a good one. Take care. Okay, so we have a caller who's been waiting patiently for 20 minutes, I think, now. Oh, and I just lost her, I think. Is that Ann? Did we lose Ann? I think we lost Ann. So, Ann, call back. Sorry, I was trying to get you as we speak.
She's still on the line.
Oh, is she? Line one. Okay. Ann, are you still there? No, not seeing her. Ann? Yeah, anyways. Sorry. Ann, call back. It's my
Saturdays are tough because so many people have so many different things going, especially if you have little kids at home. You got to run around. You can't sit long on a telephone.
Right. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I love the Saturday shows because we do have people in and out of here all the time. I've always got somebody to talk to, and it's always great to drag somebody in like yourself or Brandon or one of these days I might even get Theron to stop in.
Oh, hey, yeah.
And share the mic with the master. It's a lot of fun having the Saturday because it's nice to have people around. All right, so we got Ann from Livonia. Ann, thank you for waiting so patiently.
No problem. I actually, this is so interesting. I heard last night, and I haven't heard it before, and I wonder if you have more information. I heard that this Prop 8, we didn't think the Prop 8, you know, proposal before the Supreme Court. I thought it would only affect the definition of marriage and DOMA and that. But apparently, if the Supreme Court says that the state, the elected officials did not enforce what the state, what the people voted for with Prop 8, and they put in the state constitution on Prop 8, the state officials didn't enforce it, and the people went with their own people before the Supreme Court to have standing. If the Supreme Court says the people do not have standing to take this forward, then the 24 states that have initiatives, such as Michigan, where we can go, you know, forward with initiatives, we would lose standing. For instance, if we had Democratic legislators who didn't want to enforce right to work or other things, what that would say is we wouldn't be able to go before the Supreme Court to force the enforcement of that constitutional initiative. Have you heard anything about that? That would affect everything, guns.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. That would be a terrible precedent. I read something that I think maybe have even come from a fairly moderate, quote-unquote, liberal website, and they said that even the hardline leftists on the Supreme Court are wary of the unintended consequences of making a wrong decision on that, meaning to legalize same-sex marriage. That it is, it would open such a Pandora's box of potential problems that even some of the hardcore leftists were thinking that it may be way, way too much to expect them to do very much. I'm hoping because That is the most, in my mind, the most critical issue facing the West, actually, this whole issue of marriage.
I guess, you know, for me, I always want to go back to, you know, can someone do, isn't marriage a religious item? Why is the government even getting involved? I'm not sure that the government should be. If we're talking domestic contracts, civil unions, maybe that's the place to start. I certainly don't believe that we should be talking about marriage and defining marriage. That's none of the government's business, is it?
Well, on two levels, it gets to be a complex discussion. Number one, the marriage is an agreement in the Christianity. It's deemed to be a covenant agreement between the husband, wife, the two spouses, and God. True that the marriages existed long before governments did. The agreements, supersede government. And the unions issue is one that even fairly conservative, say Catholic commentators have said would be a viable thing that would still be in line with Catholic theology. However, tampering with the definition of marriage is beyond the pale, and that's my position. The unions thing is possibly potentially a viable thing, but.
That's a show in itself. I've been debating whether to tackle and open this can of worms or not.
Yeah, I haven't.
I think it will certainly take more than an hour. We'd have to combine your show, my show, and steal an hour from somebody. I think to do this one.
My default position is to, which is Russell Kirk's position, sound the lead, meaning don't move too hastily to change anything, and a tradition that has endured for 2,000 years in Christianity certainly should not be tampered with by an atheistic government like America.
Right.
And I would be extremely reluctant. Right. Number one, I like to think I'm fairly attentive to this stuff, and I have to say I don't understand it enough, and it kills me to see people who are one-third attentive speaking with such passion about stuff that they – really don't understand.
Great subject, Dan. Thanks for bringing it up. We'll have to try and do that another show. I want to get Dan from Manchester on. Thanks, Ann. Appreciate it. Dan, go ahead real quick.
Yeah, I hear a lot of right to work talk, and I'm wondering when it comes time for layoffs and promotion, who do you think is going to get them?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Wouldn't that be up to the collective bargaining process that we're talking about?
I guess.
Well, I'd rather believe though all the union guys will take the layoffs and the non-promotions.
Right. Well, Dan, call me again next week and we'll open that one back up.
Okay. Another thing about it too.
Hold on, Dan. We're losing show. I got a heartbreak.
That the unions charge.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. Until next week, folks. Stay informed.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Great time.